We're in Nehemiah. We had reached what they call the ninth chapter, the fifth pasuk. And we had learned how the people had gathered and they had taken upon themselves to separate from their non-Jewish wives, those who had intermarried. And they stood in prayer and they learned Torah. And part of the day, meaning 3 hours into the day, they learned Torah. 3 hours into the day, they were praying. So half the day, they spent learning Torah and praying. And now we're up to Pasuk Hey. Vayomeru Aleviyim. And so the Levite said, Yeshua Kadmiel Banicha Shevanya. He lists all the different Levim. They said, Kumu Baruchut Hashem Elokechem. Get up and bless Hashem your God. Min haolam ve'ad haolam. From one end of the world to the other end of the world, he should be blessed. Vivalchu Shem Kivodecha. The Levites turned to Hashem and said, your name, your honorable name should be blessed. Umromam al kol beracha utehila. For your name is beyond any blessing or praise that we can give. We're going to praise, but we realize that our praise is always falling short of what should really be said. Our sages say, when they said, Mina olam ad olam, they were teaching us how to make a blessing in the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, they wouldn't say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. They would say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Min HaOlam Ve'ad HaOlam. What's the point of saying from the world to the world? So the Gemara says that during this time in Jewish history, there were people who questioned whether there was a world to come. So they instituted that in the Beit HaMikdash, they would say a blessing that included this concept. Hashem, you should be blessed from this world to the world to come. In all worlds, you should be blessed. So within the blessing, they were referencing the world to come. This was a way of arousing within the people a recognition that there was a world to come. Atahu Hashem Levadecha. This should seem familiar to you. We say this in Tefillah every morning. You Hashem, you alone, Atasita Tashamaim Shemei Hashamaim, you made the heavens, the upper heavens, V'chol Tzeva'am, their armies, that's the stars, the zodiac, Ha'aretz V'chol Asher Aleha, earth and all that's on earth, Hayamin V'chol Asher Behem, the seas and all that is in the seas, V'ata Mechayet Kulam, and you give life to all of that. U'tzva Hashamayim Lecha Mishtachavim, the armies of heaven, they bow to you. Again, there are those who worship the stars, and we're pointing out in prayer that really they all bow to you, the stars of heaven. Atahu Hashem Elokim, I suggest you guys take a Tanakh and follow, because I remember the first time I came across these psukim in Nehemiah, it shocked me how our sidurim don't put the periods in the right place. It's hard to know how to break up these psukim. We say it every morning, right? It's at the end of Psukei Dezimra, just before Az Yashir, we say these psukim. And when you look at them inside, you suddenly realize the breakup and how to define these psukim. When you look at them in a sidur, it's very hard. Maybe we'll pause for a minute and you'll get Hebrew-English Tanakhs. Saying, I personally switched for 2 years to a sidur, a Sfardi sidur, that shows the cantillation notes in the tefillah in order to teach myself how to break down these psukim. So I'd practice every day reading it with these notes. So we're continuing. This is the prayer the Levim are saying after the Jews have left their non-Jewish wives. So this prayer is going to have components that give them chizuk, that strengthen them, that will reiterate for them some basic concepts of Judaism that will give them the strength to stick to their decision. This is a very difficult decision. In the name of Hashem, they've broken up their families. So they begin with the concept that Hashem is God in this world and the world to come. He is beyond any blessings we can give Him. He alone created the world and gives life in the world. Pasuk Zayin, Atahu Hashem Elokim. you are Hashem, the force that controls everything in the world. Asher bachartam be'Avram, you chose Abraham. Ve'otzeito me'ur kasdim, and you took him out of the fire of kasdim. So we know the story that Nimrod threw Avram into a burning fire and cast him. So Hashem took Avram out of that fire. V'samta shemo Avraham. And Hashem changed his name to Avraham, which means the father of many nations. Avram means the father of the Arameans. Avraham means the father of many nations. So within Judaism, we have the capacity of people converting and connecting to Avraham. Right? Every ger is called Ben Avraham. So Avraham, when he got that name, was given the capacity to be the father of all nations. You were saying?
All you said from the fire of the Chaldeans isn't Ur the city?
Ur? No. Ir, Ayin Yud Resh, is a city.
Ur?
Could be. Ur also means fire. So, they're pointing out over here the concept of Hashgacha, that Hashem doesn't leave things to the laws of nature. That there are times where Hashem intervenes, just as Hashem took Avraham out of the fire. And Hashem changes his name to Avraham to teach us the concept that he will be the father of the people who choose the path of Hashem. Not only the Jewish people, all people who choose that path. And his direct descendants, or the people who are his direct descendants, so they also have this unique trait that Hashem is watching over them. Remember, the Jews have returned to Israel after a declaration by the nations that they will annihilate them. Time and again, there was a declaration they will attain the final solution. Someone asked me on Shabbos, was Hitler the first one who wanted the final solution? So Chazal say no. Chazal say Lavan wanted it, Esav wanted it, Paro wanted it. Chazal say at the time of the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash, the nations all agreed on a pact. They would ensure to eradicate the name of Israel. And you see, Hashem kept us going. So now that we're back, so Nehemiah and the Levites in this prayer, they are pointing out how Hashem has watched over us. It's not only Avraham who came out of a furnace, it's the people of Israel who have come out. On the Seder night, we sing, we hold our cup and we say, Vehi she'amda la'avoteinu velanu. The following thing has stood up for us and our forefathers. Shelo echad bilvad amad aleinu lechaloteinu. It's not only one who has come to annihilate us. Ela shebechol dor vador omedim aleinu lechaloteinu. Every generation wants to annihilate the Jews. It's not a new thing. Sometimes it comes from one side, sometimes from another side. It was Stalin. It was every generation had their arch enemy of the Jews throughout our history. Chmelnytsky. Do we lack a listing of enemies throughout our history? But what? On the Haggadah, on the Seder night, we say the pact with Avraham, right? The pact that Hashem made with Avraham was not only about Avraham lasting and having the land of Israel, it was about Avraham's descendants, the Jewish people. So here too, we are being reminded, we connect to Avraham, and Hashem watched over Avraham to ensure that he would make it. And Hashem's also watching over the Jewish people as a people to ensure that we make it. Umatzata et levavo ne'eman lefanecha. Hashem, you found his heart to be true to you. This is where the Sidurim make it very difficult, because the Sidurim make a pause here. Becharot imo is big letters, as though it's a new paragraph. It's the same pasuk. It's a continuation of the thought. Avram was found faithful to Hashem, v'charot imo aberit, and Hashem made the pact with him, latet et eretz ha-kenani, achiti, ha-emori, ha-prizi, ha-ivusi, ha-girgashi, latet lezaro. Hashem made the pact to give him this land. So again, the people are in Israel, they're being attacked by their neighbors, they're being reminded, Hashem made this pact, you're going to have this land. You are the legitimate heirs of the land of Israel. And we say it every morning. We've been preparing for this era for centuries now, saying these psukim every morning. You upheld what you said, for Hashem, you're righteous. And so Hashem, you've given His children the land of Israel. You saw how our forefathers were suffering in Egypt. V'tzakatam shamata al yamsuf. You heard their cry by the yamsuf. They thought they were done. V'titen otot u'mofetim v'faro v'chol avadav v'chol amartzo. You made wondrous things and signs against Pharaoh, his servants, his nations, all the different nations who were in Egypt. Ki yadata ki hezidu aleihim. You knew that they had been purposely evil towards the Jewish people. You made your name famous. It's been so famous like the sun is famous by day. Everyone knows they have light from the sun by day. So too everyone knew you were the one who took the Jews out of Egypt. You split the sea before the Jewish people. They passed through the sea in dry land. And those who tried to pursue them, you threw them into the depths like a stone being thrown by powerful waters that tossed the stone around. That's what you did to their enemies. So up to here is the quote that we say every morning from the Levites' prayer of encouragement, reminding the Jewish people that Hashem has been watching over them and bringing them to this point. Now we continue with what they said in their prayer. In the morning tefillah, we shift at this point to discuss what happened with the Jews when there was the splitting of the sea. We shift to that in our morning prayer. You guided the Jewish people by day with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire at night. You shone to them they should see the path they were traveling on. You descended upon Mount Sinai. You spoke to them from heaven. You gave them a just system, the Torah emet, and true Torahs, the written Torah, the oral Torah, chukim u'mitzvot tovim, statutes and commandments, which are all good. So they're being reminded, the system of the Torah is good. We have to remind ourselves that. Very often, a person can feel like, oh boy, another mitzvah. I have so many mitzvahs I have to do. No, we are fortunate. We were given this wonderful system for life. These people have just let go of their wives in the name of Torah. They definitely have to be reminded that it's a gift. It's the sweetest thing in the world. Because right now, it's not sweet. They're coming home. Where's my wife? Where are my kids? Ve'et Shabbat kodshecha hodata lahem. You taught them your Shabbos, your holy Shabbos. U'mitzvot v'chukim v'torah tzivita lahem b'yad Moshe avdecha. You commanded them in the hands of Moshe, your servant, the commandments, the statutes, the Torah. You gave them bread from heaven. They were hungry. You gave them heavenly bread. You made water come out of a rock to quench their thirst. You told them, come to inherit the land that you had promised to give them. So now in their accounting, in their prayer that they're recounting what happened, they're saying, and you know what? Our forefathers in the desert, and for generations, we have been willfully transgressing. We've been stubborn. And we didn't do our end of the deal. The people refused to listen. And they just didn't remember what amazing miracles you did for them. They were stubborn. In their rebellion, they were so rebellious, they were prepared to go back to their enslavement by the Egyptians. That's how stubborn the people were in the desert. Hashem, you are so merciful and kind, so patient and filled with kindness. You didn't leave them. You were willing to forgive them. Even when they made a golden calf, ויאמרו זה אלוהיך אשר הלכה ממצרים, and they said that's the force that took you out of Egypt. ויעשו נאצות גדולות, what they did was great blasphemy. ואתה ברחמך הרבים לא עזבתם במדבר, in your great mercy you didn't just forsake them in the desert. את עמוד הענן לא שר מעליהם ביומם להנחותם בדרך. The pillar of cloud didn't leave. The people are transgressing, as it says in Tehillim, they took from the man and they fed the golden calf. How do you do that? And Hashem continues to take care of them. The pillar of fire continued giving them light at night. And Hashem kept guiding them on the path they were supposed to go on. You gave your wisdom, your understanding, you taught them your Torah, umancha, and your man, your heavenly food, lo manata mipihem, you didn't hold it back. You know, if any other king had his subjects rebelling this way, he'd hold it back 1 hour, he'd hold it back 1 day. Guys, go deal. You believe in the calf, go pray to the calf, let the calf give you your man. No. We didn't have a shortage of man for 1 day. Give him half the rations of man, right? If we were the king, if we were Hashem, what would we do the morning of the Egel? At least half the man should come down. You guys go hungry a little bit. No, the man keeps going. Umayim natat alem nitzmam. Heavenly water. They keep getting to quench their thirst. Yes?
No, I think I already did. V'arba'im
shana kilkaltam b'midbar lo chaseiru. Now, this is tremendous encouragement for us. The idea that when people transgress, Hashem is patient. Hashem gives us a chance. And so for 40 years, Hashem continued giving us our sustenance in the desert. We didn't lack. Salmotehem lo valu, v'ragleim lo vatzeku. Their clothing didn't wear out. Their feet didn't wear out of walking. V'titen lehem mamlachot v'amamim, v'techalekem lefe'ah. You gave the people of Israel a section that would be theirs, and you gave them the land of Israel where they took over kingdoms and nations. They conquered the land of Sichon, ve'eretz melech Heshbon, ve'eretz Og melech Bashan, the lands of Heshbon and Bashan. That's the eastern side of the Jordan. You let their children multiply like the stars of heaven. You brought them to the land that you had told our forefathers we should come and inherit. So the sons came and inherited it. You subdued the Canaanites before them, and you gave them into their hands. They were victorious at war. You allowed them to win the kings and the nations. They could do whatever they wanted. They captured Arim Betzurot, fortified cities. There were 48 cities on the eastern side of the Jordan that were all fortified with huge walls. They conquered all of them in a short war. And fat land, we conquered houses filled with all goodies. The houses had pig in them that the people could eat. The houses had gold and silver, all kinds of amenities that the people enjoyed. None of you are asking me why I said pig.
I was wondering why you said pig.
Because the Gemara says that when the Pasuk says houses filled with good, it means pig. And the Gemara says one of the tastiest foods is pig. And the Gemara says that during the years that they conquered the land of Israel, they were allowed to eat pork. And the Gemara says that's what the Pasuk means when it says they had houses filled with good. That during those years, when they captured a house and there was pork sizzling on the stovetop, they could eat it. It says kadle chaziri. The Gemara has a specific part of the pig that the Gemara says is a delicacy. And it says during those years they were allowed to eat it. So I don't know. I never ate pig. And I don't even have Yetzer Hara. I can't fathom the idea of eating pig. Right? I just grew up with this concept that it's disgusting to me. But the Gemara tells us, no, that's a delicacy, the Gemara says. And the Gemara says that when the Pasuk says they were given houses filled with good, that's the reference, that during those years they were eating pig. Interesting, yeah? Interesting, you know, if we didn't have a tradition here, we would have never said that.
This was happening in the same period of time as the book of Joshua?
Correct.
But how would they be able to eat it?
the problem is that the Torah was already given that.
From the Torah they learned that those 14 years they were allowed to eat it. It's derived from the Torah. I think it's in Chulin, but I'm not sure. You gotta go looking.
The Pasuk says, don't eat pig.
Right, right. But the Chazal had a derivation that during the years of warring and conquering, it was permissible. If you want at the end of class, remind me, I'll go look. Borot Chatzuvin. So, you found wells, you found pits that were already prepared to house the water. Kiramim v'zeitim hetz ma'achal harav. You found orchards, you found vineyards, you found olive groves, to the plenty. You come into a land that's ready to be enjoyed. Le'ochlu ve'yisbu ve'yashminu. So your forefathers ate, they even grew fat. Ve'itadenu b'tuvcha gadol. So our forefathers became pampered from all the pleasure, all the amenities, all the good that Hashem gave us. Vayamru, so our forefathers rebelled. Vayimredu bach, they rebelled against you, Hashem. Vayishlichu Torahcha acharei gavam, and they tossed the Torah behind their back, so to speak. Vetnevi'echa aragu, they murdered the prophets. Asher ha'iduvam nashivam elecha, when the prophets warned the people to repent, so they killed them. Vayasu ne'atzot gedolot, and what our forefathers did was great blasphemy. So Hashem, you gave our forefathers in the hands of the enemies, and the enemies afflicted them. When everything went bad, they cried to you. And you heard from the heavens, and like your great mercy, so you gave them redeemers who redeemed them. And then when things became good again, they again transgressed before you. They did that which was evil before you. So again, you let their enemies oppress them. Again, they cried out to you. And again, you heard from the heavens. This happened many times. Right? That's the whole book of Judges and part of the book of Kings. You kept warning them, come back to the Torah. Now, remember, the first time we came into Israel, we had centuries of this behavior, up and down and up and down, and it kept going, this cycle. So now that we've re-entered the land of Israel, and Nehemiah and the Levites are witnessing that many of the Jewish people were transgressing, and now they had a moment of repentance, so their prayer is, in some way, it seems, to encourage the people, let's break the cycle. Let's make this for real. They didn't listen. You warned them to repent. They willfully transgressed. They went against your system, Hashem. Your system is how we are supposed to live. They placed a shoulder, a rebellious soldier, shoulder. It's like when someone tries talking to you and you turn around, right? You ever try talking to a kid and they're upset? They're not looking at you, right? They turn their shoulders away of, I'm not interested. They stiffened their necks, they wouldn't listen. Hashem, you held on to them. You kept having mercy for them for many years. You kept warning them, sending prophetic vision to your prophets, and the Jews wouldn't listen. So you gave them into the hands of the nations. And with your great mercy, you didn't annihilate them. You didn't leave the Jewish people. Ki kel chanun v'rachum ata, because you are merciful and compassionate. V'ata Elokeinu. And this pasuk is one of the most important psukim in the book of Nehemiah. If you recall earlier, we saw in Nehemiah and in Ezra and in Daniel that they spoke to Hashem and they said, Hakel agadol v'anora. They didn't use the word gibor. Right? They said, how could you say gibor when the nations are oppressing us? Now they've built their fortification, they've returned and rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, and the men of the great assembly with Nehemiah make a declaration. Hashem should always be praised as Vata Elokeinu, you Hashem our God. They're going to praise Him the way Moshe Rabbeinu did. Hakel Gadol Gibor VeHanora. And Chazal say that for this pasuk, they were called the men of the great assembly, because they taught the Jewish people that even at a time when we're being oppressed and scattered and it seems like Hashem is not mighty and it seems like Hashem is not awesome, you should know the fact that we as a Jewish people last, that is might and awesome. And this concept of the men of the great assembly is what held us throughout our exile. Meaning in the first temple era, there was this concept, we're a kingdom, we're a powerful people, we have the Beit HaMikdash, we have a powerful connection to Hashem. You could say these words of praise because the people sensed that this was real. With the destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash and the scattering of the people, even the leaders of Israel, Daniel and Ezra, even the leaders felt like, you can't use these words of praise. Hashem's Beit HaMikdash is being used as dancing ground by His enemies. Hashem's people are being scattered. How could you say Hashem is mighty and awesome? The men of the Great Assembly said that's not true. The Jewish people and their eternal existence, they show that Hashem is mighty and awesome. When you have one sheep and 70 wolves come in to devour that sheep, and the sheep walks away and it continues to live, then that is might and that is awesome. And that's the Jewish people. We are one little sheep. What are we? We have so many enemies and they're all dedicated to annihilating us. Stalin is in the grave. Hitler's in the grave. And the Jewish people are still here. And Baruch Hashem, we're thriving. So that's this institution, this pasuk, Chazal say, this is what made them the men of the great assembly. So we would have said they should be called the great assembly because they established our prayer, they established the laws, many of the laws of Shabbos, they established many of the Mishnayot, they established many of the blessings we say. Most of Judaism, the way we know today, they did. They fought the desire for paganism. They did awesome Kabbalistic and practical things. We would have called them the men of the great assembly for that. Sages say no. Why are they called great assembly? For this pasuk. Because they taught us the concept that Hashem is great and awesome irrespective of what's happening in the temple, irrespective of whether the Jewish people are united in Israel or scattered in the world. So they gave us concepts that would hold us for eternity. Until this point, people were connected to the temple. Without a temple, what type of people are we? People were connected to Jewish people in Israel, united. What type of people are we if we're scattered? The men of the great assembly taught us, no. It doesn't matter. And this has proven our strength throughout the generations. You know, Jews would travel anywhere and meet another Jew, and they had a place to stay for Shabbos. But wait a second, do you know him? But we're a Jew. We're the Jewish people. You know, we had wars where the Jews would make a minyan. They were on both armies, on both sides. They'd make a minyan and daven together and then go back to the battlefield and then shoot at one another. Right? Yeah. During the Civil War, sure.
The first war
was
the French
and Germany. Yeah. And Jews were sending money from community to community. Why was it believable when the Articles of Zion were written? Because you had situations where Jews were funding one another from communist countries to democratic countries. It didn't matter. Jews were helping Jews. The United States, they were fighting communism, right? Yet Israel was being built by communism, by communists, and the Jews in America were funding the Jews in Israel. Wait a second. They're fighting everyone who might be a communist, right? The McCarthy era. You can't say a word that sounds like you're a communist. But you could send money to Israel. But wait, that's a socialist country. Right? So the idea that we are a people, and it doesn't matter if we're in different countries and if we're scattered, and this is a reflection of Hashem's might and how awesome Hashem is, that's this pasuk. That's the men of the great assembly reinstituting Moshe Rabbeinu's praise, Hakel Gadol Gibor Vanora. And so they stuck it into our Shmona Esrei. We begin Shmona Esrei with this declaration. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avotenu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Hakel Gadol Gibor Vanora. We start Shmona Esrei with this. We say the blessings on Kriya Shema. We say this. Look in the blessing of Kriya Shema. We also say, Hakel Gadol Gibor Vanora. In Yotzeror. Yes, sir.
So, I'm going to ask, but you already answered the question.
Good. Vata Elokeinu, so Hashem, now, Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaHaNora, Hashem, who is great, mighty, and awesome, Shomer HaBerit VaHaChesed, you hold on to the covenant and the kindness that you do for us. So that's the concept we said from the Vehi Sheamda. The covenant was not only a covenant with Avraham Avinu, it's a covenant for eternity. It's a covenant that we hold on to. We remind ourselves every night at the Seder. It's a covenant that keeps the Jewish people eternal. When Avraham Avinu was told that we would overcome the Egyptian exile, it wasn't only about the Egyptian exile, it was that we would overcome every hardship. So we turn to you, Hashem, who holds on to that covenant, and we say, Al yimat lefanecha et kol atilah asher metzatnu. Please, don't view it as minimal. Don't view it as minuscule, our troubles right now. We are facing challenges. In your eyes, Hashem, they should not seem minor. Our king, our nobles, our priests, our prophets, our fathers, the whole nation, we're all in trouble. Hashem, please take it as something big, not as something small. From the Assyrian Empire that came and destroyed all of Israel. We like to think about the great rescue from the Assyrian Empire, right? Hezekiah was in Jerusalem, and there was an awesome plague, and all his troops died, and we were saved. But we're forgetting, all of Israel was destroyed. One city remained, Jerusalem. North, south, east, west, destroyed. So it's true that at the gates of Jerusalem, Ashur was destroyed. And we walked away, and we retained our empire for another century. But we retained an empire that was destroyed. When the Assyrian Empire swooped down into Israel, they destroyed all of Israel, they went down into Africa, they conquered everything. Jerusalem remained. So that's why Nehemiah, the Levites, are saying, from the days of Ashur, because our great destruction began with Ashur, it was not Babel. Babel finished the job. But the great destruction was the Assyrian Empire. They exiled the northern 10 tribes. They exiled the people on the east, the eastern, the 2.5 tribes. From the days of the Assyrian Empire, Ad Yom Hazeh till today. V'ata tzadik al kol ba'aleinu, Hashem, we're not complaining. You're righteous in everything that happened. We deserved it. Ki emet asita, v'anachnu yirshanu. What you've done is fear. What we've done is evil. We know that our leaders, our priests, our forefathers did not keep the Torah. They didn't observe the mitzvos, they didn't listen to your warnings. And even though they had their kingdom, and they had all this good you gave them, you gave them a broad land, fat land, they still didn't serve you. They didn't repent. So this is a summary. The Levites in this prayer are telling the Jewish people, let's recap what happened here. Our history is not so positive. We haven't really done our end of the deal. Hashem has continuously been good to us. So on the one hand, this is a reminder to us, let's not enter that cycle again. And like I said when we began the book of Nehemiah, to my mind, this book is the book of today. This is the book that should be learned today. The book of Nehemiah is the story of the Jewish people when they returned to the land of Israel. People often say, I got this question so many times in the last decade. If you were prime minister, what would you do? Why don't you read the book of Nehemiah? We see that people respected the idea that there were forces that were much greater than the Jewish people. Just because we came back to the land of Israel did not mean that we mocked all the other kings and said, we can do whatever we want. God's on our side. If King David were here, look at what he would do. You don't see that from the book of Nehemiah. And you still had prophets here. You had Nevi'im, and you see that they worked diplomatically and politically. They didn't walk up and say, David HaMelech did whatever he wanted. They knew that David HaMelech was on that level. We were not on that level. The Jewish people didn't even back the Jews in Israel. Most of the Jews stayed in Chutz La'aretz. So, yes, David had a people that were so spiritual that he could do what he did. Nehemiah doesn't have that state. He has people who are intermarried. Where are we today? Everything that we have today is Hashem's kindness. We can't ignore the fact that we have a lot to fix. So when people say, yeah, but David HaMelech didn't care. David just went to war. Yeah, David was on that level. David was on the level where his enemy was standing 4 feet away from him, and Hashem said, don't shoot yet. He didn't shoot. Yeah, could we do that? Any of us? Leave the rest of the country. You have the gun, you have the weapon, the enemy's there, and Hashem says, wait till you see the white of his eyes. Well, excuse me. You have the weapons. Hashem says, you'll hear the trees rustling, you'll know that I went to war for you, then you start, and they had to literally risk their lives. Shaul HaMelech was outnumbered 100-1. Every soldier had 100 soldiers opposite him. And he and Hashem says, wait, don't go to war. They're attacking. I know. They're maneuvering, and you just wait. Which of us would be able to be in Shaul's forces? So yes, Shaul and David were able to go against insurmountable odds. It was only miraculous that they won. So you look at us and you say, well, what happened here in 1948? And the answer is, we don't know. It's a miracle. There's no way to, you can give all kinds of explanations. At the end of the day, it's a miracle. We didn't have enough bullets to finish off the enemies. I'm saying, so you could say psychological warfare, and you could talk about the David can. At the end of the day, you could say, the Ribbono Shel Olam made it happen. There's no, what's the logic here? And the same thing with 67. So Hashem's running the show here, but the book of Nehemiah tells the people, let me remind you what happened here. Look at how good Hashem's being to us, and look at our end of the deal. We have to make sure not to re-enter that cycle. And what Nehemiah said then is just as relevant today. Yes.
I don't know if it's right time, but like Nehemiah, Ezra, these people, they were great scholars. They understood Torah. They created a lot of Judaism today. But the creation of the modern state of Israel was very secular.
Thursday night. Let's go on. It's not. Let's focus here. We're trying to finish the book. Hine anachnu ayom avadim. We're up to Pasuk Lamed Vav. Today we are really enslaved. We're paying taxes to the Persian Empire, to the Mede Empire. Va'aretz ashantad la'avotein lechol piyav etuva, hine anachnu avadim aleha. And the land that you gave our forefathers, so we're here, but we're not free. We're still under the rule of the Persian Mede Empire. And even though the land of Israel is giving us great bounty, great grains, we have to send that as taxes. And the one who's enjoying all the bounty of the land of Israel is the kings who are in charge of us, and it's our fault. They rule our bodies. And they rule our animals, and whatever they want, they do. Ribbono Shel Olam, we are in a terrible state. And even so, even though things are so bad, we are signing a pact with Hashem. And we are writing, and we are accepting upon ourselves to put our faith in you, Hashem. We are going to accept you as our king. And we're all going to sign Sarenu, Levienu, Kohanenu. The nobles, the Levites, the Kohanim. The Alachatumim, and those who signed are Nehemiah, who was also known as Atirshata ben Chachaliah v'Tzidkiah, Sraya Azariah Yirmiah, Pashur Amariah Malkiah, Chatush Shevaniah Maluch, and he goes through a long naming here. Who signed on this pact with Hashem? Pasuk? I don't know. That depends. Pasuk Chavtet, Ushar Ha'am, HaKohanim HaLeviim HaShoharim HaMshoririm. We skipped the Pasuk Chavtet. You can read through the names later. The remainder of the nation, Kohanim, Levites, gatekeepers, singers, HaNetinim V'chol HaNivdal Me'ameh HaRatzot HaTorat HaElokim. If it was the Netinim, the servants who had tricked the Jewish people into conversion in the days of Yeshua, or the people who had left the nations and joined the Jewish people, Nishehem, Benehem, Uvnotehem, Kol Yodeh Mevin. Anyone who understood what was going on, signed. They had a long ledger. Everyone was signed on this pact. Machzikim Alacheihem Adireihem. Together with their leaders, their powerful brothers, They all accepted, uveim ba'alah uvishvua, they accepted a curse and a vow, lalechet b'torat Elohim, to go and adhere to the Torah, asher nitana b'yad Moshe eved Elohim, that was given by in the hands of Moshe, the servant of Hashem, v'lishmor v'lasot et kol mitzvot Hashem Adoneinu, u'mishpatav v'chukav. They will adhere and perform the mitzvos of Hashem our Master. They will stick to Hashem's laws and statutes. V'asher lo niten binotenu la'me'aretz. Part of what they accepted is they would not let their daughters intermarry. Ve'et notem lo nikach levaneinu. And they wouldn't let their sons intermarry. And even though the nations were coming to sell their goods on Shabbos, and until this point the Jews were doing commerce on Shabbos, part of the pact was, we will no longer purchase from the non-Jews their wares on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Venitoshet Hashana Shevi'it, and we will let the land go fallow on Shemitah, Umasa Cholyad, and we will let go of any loans on Shemitah. Ve'emadnu aleinu mitzvot laten aleinu shlishit ha-shekel bashana, and we took upon ourselves the mitzvah to give a third of a shekel. This is a discussion in halacha, why at this point there wasn't machatzit ha-shekel. Our sages say that this was in addition to the machatzit ha-shekel. They took on another tax to give another third, la'avodat beit elokeinu, for the service of the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, shlishit is a third. Third is less than half. So Chazal say they added a third in addition to the half a shekel. And then they enumerate in the next pasuk what holy things will be done with their donation. Pasuk lamedei, v'agorolot ipanu al korban ha'itzim ha'kohanim ha'levim v'am la'vi levet Elokeinu. The following story happened like this. They had no wood. In Jerusalem you don't have forests, so they couldn't bring sacrifices. In the Beit HaMikdash they didn't have wood. So there were families of Kohanim who said, we will take upon ourselves a period of time, a number of weeks, that we will go and bring in wood and risk our lives or invest a lot of money to actually harvest a lot of wood and bring it up to the Beit HaMikdash. And it was a big investment. And it was wealthy families. It was a major project. And so in order to make this happen, Chazal gave rewards to the families who did it. They had a special holiday on the day that their part of the cycle began. And they are mentioned in Mishnayos till today. In Mishnayot Ta'anit, we have a recording of their holidays. And this is mentioned throughout the Shas. From this point onward, what you see here in Pasuk Lamedei, Koban Eitzim HaKohanim Alvim Va'am, the sacrifice of the wood. What does that mean? That means that when they brought the wood, it was as a donation, it was like a sacrifice. Later on, they instituted a sacrifice with it. Every year, they had a set date. They would start, the whole family would come and make a celebration on that day. And for the rest of the period of the second Beit HaMikdash, even when later the land of Israel was more fully inhabited and the Beit HaMikdash had plenty of wood, the families retained that day for centuries, almost half a millennium, the whole period of the second Beit HaMikdash, 420 years. These families celebrated the day their cycle would begin. And they were given that honor, that as a family, they would make a pilgrimage this day of the year to the Beit HaMikdash, and the whole family would come and celebrate, and it was their Yom Tov. And it was known, it's recorded in the Mishnayos still today, what their holidays were, because they stood by the Beit HaMikdash when everything was poor. This is a concept we have in Torah. Those who stand by the Beit HaMikdash, or the people of Israel when they're poor, retain that honor for a long time. We have a street called Strauss, Natan Strauss Street. You know that street, right? Who was Natan Strauss? You've heard of Strauss clothing, yeah, in the United States? Levi Strauss, yeah? So there were two brothers, Natan and Levi, two Jews. And they were very wealthy in their clothing business in the United States. And then they came to visit Israel. And they went to the Kotel. And when they went to the Kotel, so a lot of people started telling them, we need charity. But back then, the charity they needed was basic medical care and basic clothing and food. And so Levi gave some donations and left. And Natan and his wife were very taken by the misery of the Jews. And Levi said, we have a ship we have to catch at the port. And Natan said, I can't leave my brothers. You go, I'll catch up to you. Levi said, you know, we have a very important ship to catch. We paid a lot of money for this voyage. And Natan said, I'll catch up, don't worry. I want to stay and help the Jews. And he stayed. And he invested in hospitals, and he invested in helping the poor. And then he left late, and he was very late for that ship. He was so late that ship was called the Titanic. And his brother sank on the Titanic, and his life was saved. And so we have, till today, Natan Strauss Street, we have a lot of things named in his honor, because he invested in the people of Israel when we were poor, when it was hard. He invested in us, so we keep that honor in his honor. That's our history. So coming back to here, this story I once heard, I don't want to teach you guys this, but I there's a little bit of chutzpah that I hold on to when I meet certain rabbeim of mine, so I ask them to teach me something. So I once asked Rav David Feinstein if he could teach me something, and he told me this story. He was in Israel visiting then, I think. So he told me this story about Natan Strauss. Coming back to Nehemiah. So the recording over here, in Pasuk Lamed Hei, they drew lots. When the Kohanim would bring their donation of wood, this remained with us for the next 3 centuries in the land of Israel. Leitim mezumanim shana v'shana, every year had its set time. We're moving on to Pasuk Lamed Vav. Ulavi, we accept upon ourselves to bring it bikuad matenu, our first fruits, uvikoi kol pri cholet shana v'shana levet Hashem, the first fruits of the trees. Even though the Torah only obligated us the 7 species, at this time they took upon themselves to bring up all the first fruits to the Beit HaMikdash.
It's a commandment?
The Torah only commands the 7 species.
Now they are doing.
They accepted upon themselves to bring all the first fruits. Ve'et pechorot banenu, their first children, to redeem them with 5 silver coins. Uvemtenu, the first animals, right? That's the first donkey. The Torah says redeem with the sheep. Kakatuv b'Torah, as the Torah states, ve'et pechorei bekareinu v'tzoneinu, the firstborn of the cattle, the Torah says, has to be brought to the Kohen. Lavi le'vet elokeinu l'kohanim amshartim ve'et elokeinu, to bring to the Kohanim. Ve'et reshit arisoteinu, the Torah says, the first of your dough, what we call challah, that we give to the Kohen. Utrumoteinu, we're taking upon ourselves, we will adhere to the mitzvah of taking off truma. Ufri choletz tirosh v'yitzar, and to take truma from the wine and the oil. Navila kohanim, to bring to the kohanim. Elishchot bet elokeinu. Umasar admatenu lalvihim, the tithe we'll give to the Levites. Ne'em alvihim ha'masrim b'chol arei avodateinu. And the Levites, they too will take their tithe. V'haya. Now this pasuk is also very important. V'haya ha-kohen ben Aharon, the Kohanim would be im ha-leviim ba'aser ha-leviim. When the Levites take their tithe, the Kohanim will be with the Levites. So what does this mean? So one interpretation is that when the Levites take a tithe of their tithe, so the Kohen will be present. When the Levite gets his tithe, the Kohen will be there, so he gets his tithe. But we'll see in a minute. And the Levites, they'll bring it to the Kohanim, because they know they have within their lot part that belongs to the Kohen. They'll bring it to the Kohanim, because the Kohanim can't leave the Beit HaMikdash. The Jews and the Levites have to bring it up to the Beit HaMikdash, to the rooms there, because the Kohanim are there serving, and they're not supposed to leave the Beit HaMikdash. Our sages say that when Ezra ascended to Israel, and he saw that the Levites didn't come, he taxed the Levites. He said, from now on, the Maaser is going to the Kohanim. The Levites, if they didn't join in the rebuilding of the land of Israel, they lost their rights. So Kohanim are also Levites. We're moving on to what they call the 11th chapter. And, okay, we'll see if we can see what we can do. Should we continue or shift to the Jewish home? Continue? Yes, the vote is to continue? Okay.